affect these at 8 o'clock the Soviet ambassador came in, having called a short time earlier and said he had an urgent message from Mr. Kosygin.
Yes.
And he read to me a 2-page statement, the net of which was that the Soviet and the East Germans and the Poles and others were invading Czechoslovakia in response to a request by the Czech government. He said this was not a matter that affected the United States' national interest. And Mr. Kosygin wanted Mr. Johnson to know that there's no matter that should concern them or that would in any way affect the good relationship between the two countries. For the past several weeks, we have been exploring with them a good many subjects of mutual interest, some of which I've discussed with you, some I haven't because it just came up the last day or two. But one of them is peaceful uses of nuclear energy. One of them is the missile offensive and defensive missile situation. And we've been trying to set dates for staff to go to work in Geneva, and we have offered do it at the highest level, preliminary, or the foreign minister level, or at the staff level, as I previously explained to you. They have given us no indication of anything like this. We were greatly concerned about their recent conferences, but only yesterday we had other messages from them. When I got off the plane last night in Detroit, I had a rather friendly message from them. But they move with lightning speed tonight. And
the Soviet troops as well as the
East German and Polish.
They're all in it, huh?
And I don't know who else.
Yes.
But they had their meeting, their presidium today, 200 or 300. And our people have been concerned that this little nation shoving them down conferences would be too much for them to stand, and they would have to respond. So we've kind of got, we don't know, something the order of Hungary on our hands.
Yes.
We do not know, we do not believe that the Czech government asked for this. We think that's incorrect, their statement to that effect. We received their statement with utter dismay, and I said to him, and I couldn't understand all he said. He speaks very broken English.
This is Dobrynin?
Yes.
Yes.
But I summarized it by saying, well, the effect of this is that your troops are going into Czechoslovakia, and that they're doing so at the request of the Czech government, and you're saying to me that it's not a matter that affects our national interest. I have expressed to you before our feeling about situations of this kind, meaning aggression. Secretary of State talked to you just a few days ago at my direction to tell you how we felt about what you were doing in Czechoslovakia, but that we were not the cause of what the Czechs were doing. We were not instigating it, inspiring it. The Secretary spoke with full authority when he told you we believed in freedom and so on and so forth, independence, but he spoke with my knowledge and at my direction and with full authority, and he spoke the truth. We were not agitated. He said, yes, he understood that. I said, I'll study your message. If you'll leave it to me in writing, I'll have it typed up, and I'll meet with Secretary of State, who's been called before the platform.
Please don't ring.
Are you getting it?
Yeah, I hope.
And then we would go out to our allies. So much for the bringing. That's what we'd notify them tonight. go out to our allies and tell them what we'd done and see what they were doing and see if we got a check voice in the United Nations tomorrow.
Yes.
That'll make some difference. Now, that's about it. It's not anything to... It's the biggest thing that happened. I think the lessons to be drawn from it are these, that even with the best of information, while we were concerned about it, I don't know what just caused me to drift in yesterday, but good Lord, just after my nap, told me he thought I ought to go on up Detroit and take that engagement, and I hadn't even announced I'd accept it, and then come on into Washington, and I did, and I had a message from the Soviet waiting on me, on a conciliatory
message. You didn't get the message till you got to Washington?
No, I didn't get the message till tonight, till 8 o'clock, but I got a message last night. There's a very conciliatory one saying that they were ready to announce meetings about these other two or three or four subjects, and that they were...
This is along the lines that Rusk suggested that they couldn't tolerate this, really. When we talked at your ranch, the secretary said that he didn't really believe the Soviet could let this go by.
Yes, that's right. And we have been concerned about that. And we didn't think that a big fella can sit there and let a little fella spit in his face and slap him, and then just he might clean it off and walk away, but he won't forget it. And evidently, they were buying a little time, and evidently, they went back and called their meeting of their cabinet, their people, and evidently, they concluded that they had to go, the press, I guess, kept showing freedom, and they thought that GPEC could control them and quiet them down, and they didn't do it, so I guess they just decided to act. Now, we're really not sure. We just, these are the most fragmentary reports, and I didn't know that they even ought to bother you. On the other hand, the Vice President was at the Security Council, and I thought you ought to know it, because
I appreciate that.
If you kept informed all the time, you can at least...
Well, I won't say anything until I, of course, hear more, and I'll of course, let you... seems to me, though, that this strengthens your hand on what you said in Vietnam, too.
I think it does two things, Dick. I think it shows you, and I think this is an appropriate comment. I don't know. I'm not putting words in your mouth.
I'm not running
your campaign by any means. Don't get disillusioned.
I understand.
But I'm not going to trick you either. No, I'm going to be fair with you, because there's too much at stake, or I would be running myself if I thought that...
I know.
But I think this shows the folly of professors trying to write into platforms strategy and tactics, and whether you stop bombing or whether you don't stop bombing, what are they going to put in there about Russian tanks? What are these goddamn pink sympathizers going to say about these goddamn troops that are crossing the borders? Have they got a plank on that? And what are they recommending there? And I think that your position is just as sound as mine was when I said politics stops at the water's edge, and when President Eisenhower starts to Japan, when he starts the Soviet Union, wherever he goes with the one voice, the spokesman of the American people,
right.
And as long as he's president, Adlai Stevenson, his advisory committee, I'm not going to pay one goddamn bit of attention to what they say. That foreign policy and how it's conducted. Only one man can conduct it. Now, your position is generally bent. I don't want to subscribe and don't subscribe and don't embrace everything said or done except this. Until January the 20th, it's that man's responsibility. After January the 20th, it's mine. And
I have heard that at the VFW, I said that...
yes, they told me.
God, when the President of the United States travels or anything, he's our president, we should have respect, you know?
That's right. Well, you know, all of us, you learn down in Latin America. Anybody, by God, can...
And you were out to meet me at the airport, I remember.
Yes, sir. And anybody, you see, a lot of this stuff in this country has been encouraged by our own people. One of our late friends, Bobby, used to say, the president and the vice president, not free to go anymore. And that was a suggestion to go out and keep them from traveling.
Yeah.
And that's it. But anyway, on this thing, I think it's a very appropriate comment that people get in deep water, and I'm very glad of what our committee did and what our people did in saying that we're going to reserve the right to give our judgments and our opinions, but we're not going to put ourselves in a straitjacket or put our leaders or our negotiators or our country in a point where people will try to take advantage of it, and I don't know. And I'm very honest with you. I don't know how much they're listening to McGovern and McCarthy tonight. But it's damn funny to me that they're selected 3 days before the convention to start biting off a little hunk.
Hell of a thing. Matter of fact, let me say this, that on this, that I don't give a goddamn what the politics is, that, I hope you, I'm sure Hubert will feel the same way. I know how you feel about the whole peace issue, but we've got to stand very firm, and I won't say a damn word that's going to embarrass you.
Oh, I know that. I know that. I think, though, that it's all right for you to say that this concerns you, that it dismays you. You're always concerned with aggression. You don't know the extent of it. You don't know the details of it. But the president did call you, and the president did outline to you all the facts he had, and that the president will no doubt have other statements to make. And as he makes them, you'll follow them and consider them and so forth, but that you're not trying to second-guess the thing, and you don't want anybody to get the idea that there are half a dozen presidents that are calling signals here on foreign policy, and that's what you made clear at Miami, and that's what you're going to make clear to the elected.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Can you keep, talking very candidly, can you keep your vice president and others to keep them firm in this thing? Because, you know, the hell with the goddamn election. We must all stand firm on this. You know, I don't know if we're going to go to war, but we've got to stand firm.
Very frankly, I don't know. That's the honest answer. I just plain don't know. I have done it up to now, and I think it would be the best thing for the country, and I have said to them that, and I have furthermore said that, in my judgment, if they didn't do it, that you would murder them, that you would say, here in the time of crisis, you goddamn fellas tried to suck up to these folks. And when you look at the polls this morning, it's 61-24 against stopping the bombing. And I look at my two son-in-laws out there, and I tell them, lay down your plane, keep it grounded, we won't let you use it. And they say, okay, what are you going to take away from them? And I say, nothing, we haven't talked about that. Well, they'll say, screw you. And these boys are coming home someday. I got 32 applauses in 41 minutes last night. And I had a standing ovation that went in. I had a standing ovation about halfway through my speech. I had a standing ovation then. I had 31 applauses. And I got there wasn't a paper in the United States mentioning.
Well, the bastards, you know, like the goddamn New York Times.
Don't
print the truth. That's all.
That's right.
They don't print the truth.
Well, anyway, I think you can. You have nothing to be. You can have every reason to be proud of what your platform is.
Let me say, I won't take any advantage of you.
Oh, I know that. I know that. I wouldn't be.
Naturally, because we've got to do the right thing.
I wouldn't be calling you. I'm going to keep you informed just as much as I keep anybody informed, and I'm going to tell you everything that affects the country.
Right. Now, tell me this. In the morning, is the best one for me to call Rusk? Is he the guy that will know what's going on?
He'll be very good, Rusk, always, and he's the best one in the government.
All right, I won't bother you, but I may give him a call.
Anytime you want to, I'm free. So you just call me, call him whenever you want to.
All right. And the main thing, Mr. President, just speaking of the country, don't let your vice president get off on this.
I'm going to do my best, but as you know, you know.
Pressure, I know. But he mustn't go.
I hope I can do as good a job as you did in Miami, but I would doubt it.
Yeah, but these fellows, you know, damn it, these fellows. McCarthy and this bunch, Mr. President, goddammit, they're wrong.
How asinine it is to say to these communist people that this is, we're not going to do anything about your aggression in Southeast Asia, and while you're doing it, by God, they start moving into Eastern Europe.
That's right, and they're moving real strong.
And they'll be moving into Berlin the next day if they think they could get by with it, and here we are talking about pulling our troops home, and here we are talking about that we can't be policemen, and they don't talk about stopping the bombing, and we got to bring our boys, and we can't be policemen in the world. Well, hell, if we won't turn it all over to them, that's one thing, but the American people didn't say so in 61-24 yesterday.
You know, you have no objection if I'm asked tomorrow, that I say that I'm greatly dismayed about it, the president has informed me.
Sure, no, I think it'd be quite proper.
Right on that line.
I think it'd be quite proper. I'd say after the Security Council adjourned, President called me and reviewed with me everything that had taken place. And we exchanged viewpoints, and I asked questions, and he asked me for my views, and I'm going to follow.